Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Wednesday, January the 16th, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in at page XXIX in the doctor's opinion, starting with the first paragraph beginning with, "On the other hand." And we'll be reading through one paragraph. It ends in following a few simple rules. We'll be commenting on one paragraph only. Today's readers are Carrie K. for the 12 steps, Athena B. for the 12 traditions. The readers of our text are Cindy D. And page 164 will be Liz T. And yes, and then also, don't want to forget Melanie C. as our newcomer greeter today. The share ID for yesterday, that was Tuesday, January the 15th, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,420. So that's 12420. And the share ID for this morning's Wednesday, January 16th meeting, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 12,426. 12426. The OA Preemblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You, Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Athena B. to read the 12 steps of OA. I'm sorry, I'm not Athena B. I apologize. Carrie K. Sorry about that. Carrie K., the 12 steps of OA, please.
Thank you, Sherry KB.
Thank you, Carrie.
This is Carrie K. from Boulder, Colorado. The 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Carrie K. And now Athena B. will read our 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Athena B., recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. These are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Athena B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep this sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep this share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinent requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you've done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page Roman numeral XXIX. The first paragraph beginning with, on the other hand, reading through only one paragraph, which ends in follow a few simple rules. And would Cindy D. please get us started?
Thanks, Sherry. You're welcome. This is Cindy D., gratefully recovered in Texas. And on the other hand, and strange as this may seem to those who do not understand, once a psychic change has occurred, the very same person who seemed doomed, who had so many problems he despaired of ever solving them, suddenly finds himself easily able to control his desire for alcohol, the only effort necessary being that required to follow a few simple rules. When I came, back to program, I came back as one of those people who didn't understand. I thought that, and I had tried to manage it or control it or change it or manipulate my food, and it absolutely had control over me, and I didn't understand. I thought there was something missing, but I didn't know what it was. And when I came into the program and started working the steps, gradually for me, I did have a psychic change. And, the definition of psychic is mind, soul, or spirit. And I really believe that the program has touched me on all three levels. The way I think is different, and the way that I feel about a higher power is vastly different. I feel connected, and when I don't feel connected, that's when I get in trouble. And my spirit is much more giving, and much more wanting to be part of and in fellowship with others and sharing this incredible message that we have to offer. And, I really was doomed, and I saw that. I had tried everything and had almost lost my life to the disease, and yet I still couldn't handle it. And I have found that through working the steps and having the spiritual awakening, I don't on a daily basis have the desire for the food. I am neutral. Doesn't mean I don't occasionally get food thoughts. I do. But I now know how to be in partnership with God and walk through those moments and be able to really look at what's going on with me, because it's usually not that I'm hungry. It's usually that some feeling or some problem is disturbing me. And I do live, you know, following these few simple rules every day. I live in 10, 11, and 12, and 10 allows me to see my character defects and address them and bring them to God and ask Him to remove them. And 11 keeps me connected, and that's an extremely important part of my program. When I don't have a day where I follow my routine, I get out of sorts, including even coming to this meeting. And then 12, you know, working with others and sharing this incredible program and the gift that I've been given, it just sort of came on me, and I'm amazed and continue to be amazed at the miracles that happen every day in the program. So if you're new, keep coming back, find someone to work with, and really give yourself to the program and to your higher power. You'll be amazed with what you'll see happen. So with that, Sherry, thank you for letting me be of service.
And thank you, Cindy D. So again, we're reading the doctor's opinion, and we're at Roman numeral XXIX, the first paragraph, starting with "on the other hand," reading only that one paragraph, which ends in "following a few simple rules." And who would like to share on this paragraph?
Freya H.
Freya H.
Marissa E.
Marissa E.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen
Kathy
A.
C.
Did you say Kathy C?
Yes, Kathy C.
Okay. And I can take three more. Who else would like to share?
Reggie O.
Beatrice O.
Roz G.
Reggie O.
Beatrice O.
Beatrice O.
Bruce
and
E.
Bruce, I heard a lady. We can see on the next round. Who was right after Beatrice O?
Okay.
Roz G.
Roz G. All right. All right. Freya, you're up. Followed by Marissa E.
Thank you. This is Freya H., a compulsive eater and bulimic in Colorado. And I just heard silence, so I wanted to jump in. So what really struck me was the line that the only effort necessary is, you know, that required, you know, just following a few simple rules. And what a contrast it is, that idea is to my, you know, my approach to life before being introduced to this program. And my, you know, my approach was that it's all my effort, it's all me, it's self-will, and it's my power, and I have to figure it out. It's also, it's my knowledge. And what a relief it is to hear that idea that you know, that I don't have to put the effort into figuring it out. I don't have to put the effort into controlling the process. I don't have to put the effort into you know, judging or having an opinion. And I guess I'm speaking about my own recovery, really understanding that the less I have any, you know, opinions or agenda for my own recovery, the better. You know, the more that I just really trust my higher power with the process. And I recently noticed that, you know, in the 12 steps, it doesn't say anything about getting relief from compulsion. The only thing that it says that we're going to get out of these steps is that we're going to have a spiritual awakening. All the other stuff is, you know, it may or may not happen. And, you know, relief from the compulsion is certainly a, you know, it's a byproduct of this psychic change. But if I am expecting anything other than a spiritual awakening out of these steps, I'm probably trying to run the show and I'm trying to be in charge. So really turning that over to my higher power, and that I need the humility to just follow a few simple rules, you know, just to follow direction and just to trust, really to trust. And so Thanks for giving me the opportunity to share, and I'll pass.
And thank you, Freya H. Marissa E., you're up, followed by Kathleen O.
Good morning. This is Marissa E., recovered compulsive overeater outside Los Angeles. Yeah, I too, like Freya, just wanted to jump in. So the very same person who seemed doomed, I looked up the word doomed, right, because that does describe me. And it says, likely to have an unfortunate and inescapable outcome, ill-fated, condemned to a certain destruction or death, right? And then it says, even on page 44, to be doomed to an alcoholic death. And, you know, that was my fate with this disease, right? I came to my first meeting when I was 20 years old, and I was done. I was spent. I was exhausted. Right? I was 20. I was a little baby, but I couldn't stop from eating. I couldn't keep my weight down. I couldn't restart another diet. I couldn't, you know, I just couldn't. I was done. And I looked up the antonym of doomed, right? Because what am I now, right? With this entire abstinence, with this entire psychic change, and it's blessed, intact, restored and hopeful. And right, you know, that very same person, right? I am that very same person. I look the same on the outside, right? But I've lost almost 40 pounds in this program. I have gone to school. I've gotten married. I have been of service to my family, to my friends and my loved ones. And really, really, it's just been the past 4 months of this entire abstinence that the promises have come true for me. But I do. I know that I am, right, the antonym of doomed. And I'm just so grateful to have that experience and be that very same person, but just living the exact opposite life. So with that, I pass. Thank you, Sherry.
And thank you, Marissa E. And Kathleen O., you're up, followed by Kathy C. Kathleen?
Thank you, Sherry. Good morning. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. Good morning, everyone. So, on the other hand, and strange as this may seem to those who do not understand, once a psychic change has occurred, the very same person who seemed doomed, who had so many problems he despaired of ever solving, suddenly finds himself easily able to control his desire for alcohol. So it's not telling us we're going to be able to control our food. It's telling us we're going to be able to control our desire. It's like the desire to eat isn't there anymore. And, you know, we get this through, it's a daily reprieve. This obsession is lifted. You know, if I could have done this any other way, I would have. But the reason I couldn't get out of the food was I have an allergy of the body and this phenomenon of craving. And, you know, the only effort necessary being that required to follow a few simple rules. And this is implementing the steps. We're unlocking ourselves from the sunlight of the spirit so we can have a psychic change sufficient to bring about recovery. And we suddenly, I mean, for me, it was like, you know, it changed the way I thought. It changed the way I acted. It changed my feel. I mean, it was really, truly amazing that of all the things, I had paid so much money to try so many things and thought that that's the way I wanted to do it. So to come here and, you know, not have to give everyone my name and my address and all the personal things about me and then pay money all the time and get no results, to come in here and be able to not only not have the desire to eat the binge foods that I used to just go crazy on, but to just have a really nice, clean life and you know, to not be so self-centered anymore, to be other-centered, to be God-centered, to really be able to help other people and want to help other people. It's like, it's not about me anymore. And the gifts that go along with this are just so incredible. So if you're new, stick around because there is a solution here. And It's not always easy, and you know, it takes some time. But I'm telling you, if you have time to plan out your binge food all day long and think about food all day long, you have time to do this. It doesn't take as much time as it did in the food. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Hi, this is Kathy C., compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. And, I was thinking about how one day I was in the middle of a relapse I didn't think I would ever get out of. And then the next day, I was completely surrendered and asking someone to sponsor me and work the steps and agreeing to follow a food plan. And the amazing psychic change that occurred within that 24 hours of surrender. I did not think I would be able to come back from my relapse.
Kathy C., we lost you. Are you still there? Kathy C.? Can anyone hear me? Hello?
Yeah, we hear you, Sherry.
Oh, good. Thank you.
I can hear you.
Okay, Kathy, are you still there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead, please, Kathy. All of a sudden it got like we couldn't hear you. Thank you.
Okay.
Please continue. Thank you.
Okay, sure. And so anyway, I guess I was just saying that, you know, that happened when I came back from the relapse, and then it happened again recently when I wasn't going to enough meetings, and I started eating more, and I couldn't seem to break that, but I knew that there what the solution was for breaking it. So I asked for help from fellows and a sponsor. And I was directed to follow a few simple rules, go to more meetings, and the compulsion was lifted right away. And I haven't had, again, I had a psychic change in what I thought the solution was for feeling uncomfortable. And when the doom that was in the reading can be, you know, a lot. It can happen in recovery if I'm, you know, and I love the clear-headedness that comes from not being stuck in the food and being focused on the recovery. It allows me to find true solutions to the things that are going on in my life, and I'm really grateful for that. There's just so much serenity for following a few simple rules. And I'm just very, very, very grateful for this program, and I'm new to this meeting. It's my first week participating in it, and it's a really great meeting, and I'm thankful to all of you for your service and talk.
Thank you, Kathy C. Reggie O., you're up, followed by Beatrice O. Go ahead, Reggie.
Hi, thank you, Sherry, for your service this morning and everybody. This is Reggie O, just outside Los Angeles, and very grateful to be here today and for this slide, just for this amazing message, listening to this every morning and everybody's experience of it. You know, once a psychic change has occurred, the very same person, you know, the me, the all of us that comes into the room, rather hopeless and trying, having tried everything in the book, had so many problems, you know, which I can vouch for that he despaired of ever solving them, suddenly finds himself easily able to control his desire for alcohol. And, you know, and that's, Dr. Silkworth basically writes about the first step, but, you know, on the page before this, which is admitted we were powerless over alcohol and our lives have become unmanageable. And the step, the page before, he says, you know, once you form the habit of alcoholism and can't break it, their problems pile up on them and become astonishingly difficult to serve. And then this, you know, and it sounded interesting, you know, that he said this, he suddenly finds himself easily able to control his desire for alcohol, which is a requirement, you know, that for the second part, you know, the unmanageability of the life, and And the psychic change here, you know, in the book, it's talked about as a vital spiritual experience. It's talked about on various pages what that is, you know, and a personality change sufficient to bring about the recovery from compulsive overeating. You know, it really is miraculous when you think about it, you know, that which was, when I think about it, when I've experienced it, you know, and thinking about the clarity of food and not eating, drinking substances that turn me into something outside of, you know, who I am, that lack of clarity, you know, there's something about getting the clarity with food and being committed and working, you know, the few simple rules, working the steps, that really changes everything. I mean, the clarity around food, it like brings me clarity in every other area of my life, so I can see and think better and look at what's ahead of me. And you know, I continually, I think it's important for me to remember, because I've done this, you know, once before where I went out after being recovered and having my life completely change. And it was, boy, it was, it's challenging to come back after something like that, or it was for me. And so the few simple rules, the steps, I get the, you know, I get the, we get the spiritual experience, the psychic change, the freedom by doing that. But in order to maintain it, I'd keep working these simple rules and living them as a way of life. And today I'm very grateful for that, because it is a way of life that is beyond anything that I've ever experienced outside of it. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Beatrice. Thank you, Reggio. And Beatrice O, you're next, followed by Roz G.
Good morning. This is Beatrice O. So my psychic change, can I be heard?
Yes, I can hear you.
I guess my psychic change was like, you know, the spiritual experience that the big book talks about in the back of the book. I was always waiting for to be struck abstinent, and it's taken a lot of years. And then the other line that it says, because I had to follow a few simple rules, and I know that was the steps, but in my mind, after all these years of recovery, I spent 30 years in different versions of this program. And I always felt like, or I was made to believe that if I wasn't doing all the tools, which were the rules, the unspoken rules, that was the reason I couldn't stay abstinent. And it wasn't so much about a psychic change, it's because B wasn't following the rules. And I was always a rule breaker. I felt rules were made to be broken. You know, I didn't pray and meditate and didn't go to 3 meetings a week and do 3 outreach calls a day and did 30 minutes of meditation and read 2 pages of the big book, that I wasn't good enough. Or if I licked my spoon or I accidentally put something in my mouth, then I was, you know, shoved back to day one. And I even spent 6 years in a meeting trying to be perfect and feeling bad, because that psychic change that I was waiting for never came. And so I felt this program was riddled with rules that I couldn't measure up to. When I was a child, my grandmother was a Pentecostal, and it was okay. She was just like, no lipstick, no dresses above the knee, no nail polish, no makeup. And I looked at everybody as hypocrites, and I judged everyone. And I thought, yeah, they look good on the outside, but how are they really living? And I judged everybody. I had this simpleton view of them, and I couldn't stand to listen to OA skinny people who had never been fat. And I felt like, what would you know about obesity? So I spent a lot of time, but on October 29th in 2018, I had a psychic change. You know, I've always been a seeker. And I'll finish up here. I've always been a seeker, and, you know, I've had that psychic change today. So thank you, God. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Beatrice O. And before we hear from Roz G., just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're on XXIX, in the doctor's opinion, paragraph 1, on the other hand. And we'll read that paragraph only. And it starts with, on the other hand, ending in, follow a few simple rules. Roz G., go ahead, please.
Good morning. This is Roz G., recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles County. And I'm out taking a walk, so there'll be a little traffic background noise. But what I wanted to talk about this morning is the psychic change. And I've had a whole change in my thinking towards food and ingredients. I mean, I could talk about the psychic change in a lot of different ways, but food, ingredients, and how I think about other people, okay? So, you know, I don't mean to be repetitive, but just to share with maybe somebody that didn't hear, you know, I spent last week in New Orleans and Indiana, but New Orleans, you know, is my family heritage, and I think that, you know, that's the best food I've ever eaten, and whenever I went to New Orleans, I would just go to eat pretty much. And yes, I enjoyed food in New Orleans, but there were some certain thoughts that I had about food. Like my sister, who, you know, practices Southern hospitality, had a cornbread, blueberry cornbread, at her house for us, which I did not eat and did not want. And then a big pancake breakfast the next day, which I did not eat. I ate other foods, but participated in family relationship and interaction. Happily went to Café Du Monde, where they have the most awesome beignets, which I thought of, my psychic thinking of them was fried dough with sugar on top. And while some people in this world have enjoyed those for many years, I've lost legs. I'm not going to grow new ones. And taking a bite into that is not going to change anything but make it only worse. And for me, that's a psychic change. This is like, you know, from my childhood. And then relationships. I spent time with my sister, who I hadn't spoken with in so many years. We had so much animosity toward each other, mostly my fault, which I have made amends for. And now she welcomed me in her home. And then with my dad, who I was pissed off at for many years for abandoning us when we were kids through a divorce of my parents. And me just finding one thing that we have in common. We both love to garden. And so I talked to him about gardening. Those are psychic changes in action, experience. And I really am so grateful for this. Thank you. I'm grateful for these 12 steps. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. And just reminding everybody where we're at. We're on Roman numeral XXIX, the doctor's opinion, the first paragraph. On the other hand, reading only that one paragraph followed by a few simple rules. And I'll take some more names. And I'm going to go ahead and start with Bruce E., who would like to go next, please.
Patty
Mariana T.
Patty T. Who is that, Patty T.?
Mariana D.
Mariana D.
Sarit L.
I'm sorry?
Sarit L.
Sarit L?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nancy L.
Nancy L. I think I can take, let's see, one more.
Jackie H. I will.
Right.
Karen C.
Okay, I have all of mine. I have Bruce E., Patty T., Mariana D., Therese L., Nancy L., and Jackie H. Go ahead, Brucey.
Well, thank you. This is Brucey.
I'm in Southwest Florida, and I am recovered today. Thank you, God. And this paragraph, strange as it may seem to those who do not understand when psychic changes occurred. So, okay, so there's a category or a group of people out there that don't understand. Maybe a lot of them. I run into quite a few. I tell them I had a psychic change, and they're going, oh, strange. That is strange. And I would have said the same thing back before I had a psychic change, and somebody told me they had a psychic change around food. Oh, man, that's strange. Well, it may be, it could be strange, but I had one. And I was doomed, had a psychic change, and had so many lots and lots. You know, I had so many problems before program. I mean, you know, you name it. Economic insecurity. You know, this. So anyway, I still have some things come up like fear of economic insecurity and resentment and fears and so forth. But man, now I got a way to deal with these things. I got a way to solve these problems. And it says here that, yeah, the problems, many had so many problems, despair of solving them. I had problems so many I thought I'd never get out of this. Suddenly finds himself easily able to control his desire for health. I had such a desire to eat. I mean, I just want, man, that food was the only thing in life to me. I mean, that's all it was. It was, you know, it was my God, it was everything. And to be at a point of not having the desire to compulsively overeat is absolutely 100% a miracle. Easily able to control their desire. And being only effort necessary being required a few simple rules. And, of course, I see that basically as the 12 steps, but then getting through the 12 steps, still continuing to work in these areas that God points up to me. Like this morning he pointed up I had a resentment, and I wrote on it. You know, so now I got a solution. I got a method for dealing with these resentments when they come up. So I wrote on it, and I'll share it with a sober member of the fellowship today, and they'll call a couple of people and share it with them. They're fine people I can share it with. And I think I've looked at where I'm to blame on it, which is a lot. Where they're to blame is very little. Where I'm to blame is a whole lot. And I can look at that, and I can
time.
Pray about it, try to improve it. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Bruce. And Patty T., you're up now, followed by Maria Ana D. Patty?
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much, Sherry KB, for your service. And this is Patty T. from Southern California, recovered today by the grace of God. You know, everybody's talking about the psychic change, and, you know, when I first came into this program at the age of 51, I was still emotionally 5 years old, that seriously, and so everything that I heard came through that filter, you know, and I suddenly, just like it says here, suddenly found myself easily able to control my desire for extra food or for food, right? But I hadn't had the psychic change. I hadn't had that. So what eventually happened was that I went back to the food because I relied on my will. I had 5 years of continuous abstinence, and then I began to rely on my own will. And that was an experience toward recovery in and of itself, because that led me to 6 years of off and on relapse, you know, abstinent, not abstinent, until I finally surrendered. I had to finally surrender and just say, okay, God, I can't do this. I can't do this. What is my part and what is your part? You know, and we hear in this on this phone line a lot that, you know, I have a part in this recovery and God has his part. And my part is to do what I can, which is to put the food down, to be willing to put the food down. And God's part is everything else. Everything else. He's gonna got my higher power is gonna take care of everything else. And that is the difference between me today and 12 years ago when I walked into this program, you know, in the doors of these rooms, is that today I understand my reliance is upon God, you know, and this is a perfect example. Last night I had finished dinner. It was 10 p.m. I was getting ready for bed, and I walked into my kitchen to drink a glass of water before bed, and lo and behold, there were some nuts there. Now, I use nuts for different purposes in my abstinence, but I reach for them. Like, oh, I'll have a handful of nuts, right? That's not on my abstinence. That was not a snack. I committed that nut. And then I had that thought, what is God's will with these nuts? And I retracted my hand because I knew that my higher power was saying to me, you're going to sleep. You don't need nuts. And you know what? That is a gift. That is a gift today for me to realize that I can have recovery even if I have a will. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Patty T. And Mariana D., you're up, followed by Cerise L. Mariana?
Yes. Hi, this is Mariana D. from Oregon. Wow, I just hearing the recovery on the line today is just what I needed to hear. And what's standing out for me is the simple rules. It's really easy for me to rev up, you know, drink too much coffee and kind of get in a spin and start thinking about how many things I want to accomplish. And what I'm learning in this program, I can't say I've learned it completely yet because I still go back to the rev at times, but what I'm learning in this program is there's a peace in knowing that I have everything I need. You know, in program we say, you know, I have enough, I do enough, I am enough. And everything I need to work out, whatever comes up for me, is I already have that, and I know that, and that right there is huge. And then I have fellows that I can turn to who are very wise. I can slow down. I can feel what I need to feel, which before that wasn't something I embraced. And I know I'll get through it. And having these things in place are huge. Sometimes I take them for granted, but when I listen to these meetings and when I slow down and in my meditation, it comes to me like what a blessing these things are. And what I know I need to embrace is just more simplicity, because when I slow down and I listen, that's when the wisdom comes, and that's when the healing comes. And and also not being so quick to get out of those places that are hard and hard to feel, because knowing that I have those tools that if I just turn over whatever it is and accept, then the healing takes place. And food isn't the cure for those feelings. Food is that, you know, damaging relationship that for a second might feel good, and then it's always followed by remorse and regret and so many other things. And if that's not a part of the picture, then the healing comes so much easier. So thank you for letting me share. Thank you for your service, Sherry. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Mariana D. And Cerise L., you'll be followed by Nancy L. Cerise? Star 1 to unmute, please.
Hi, it's Cerise L.
Go ahead, Cerise.
Volume. Okay, thank you. I'm Cerise L., and I just want to share that on the other hand, and strange as this may seem to those who do not understand, once a psychic change has occurred, for me, I would struggle with the psychic change. Has that happened for me? Has it? I don't feel changed. And yet now I know today that looking back, I've had psychic changes, and psychic changes were not, let's say, maybe a whole personality updo or change, but it's come in different moments where I've held my tongue and I've left the room, or I've shown compassion, or I've been patient, and I've actually just had been in a relapse, and I'm just coming out of it, and I'm saying that now because for me, my psychic change has occurred, but it wasn't sufficient to bring about recovery for that day that I picked up, and I need a new spiritual experience every single day, and I can't rely on yesterday's spiritual experience. Like they say, you have to brush your teeth every day, you have to shower every day. I wake up an addict, and I need to do the work again, and I'm willing today, thank God, and working my program anew and towards a new spiritual experience. And so thank you all for being there, and I'm glad I'm on the meeting. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sarit. Nancy L., followed by Jackie H. Go ahead, Nancy L.
Good morning. Nancy L. from Arizona. I was willing to follow a few simple rules, but all of them, ooh, that's a tall order, and I didn't think I could go through with it. The biggest rule I did not like was step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And then over on 84, it says we discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. So that I really put on the back burner. And, I mean, if it was a real big issue, yeah, then I would deal with it with someone on the phone. But I have realized that, for me, step 10 and 11 are, well, all of them. But those are the ones that I have a tendency to get lazy about. And I just I ran into a situation a couple nights ago. Right before bed, an issue came up. And it was, for me, a big resentment and also a fear. And I went to bed. And right about 4 o'clock in the morning, I just can't stand this. I have got to share this with someone. I have got to get this off my chest and do the process. So I just didn't think I could wake anyone up. I didn't want to. And I believe my higher power said, write an email. So I wrote an email to a friend who read it when she got up. But you know what? It was just like I had talked to someone. I guess, you know, with God being right there with me, I believe. I wrote everything out, and I wrote my prayer out, my fear prayer, et cetera, et cetera. And I went back. I think I stayed up after that, but I was just like so excited. It was like I had just talked to someone and I got it off my chest and I got it off my mind. And I also was able to look at my part in that fear and that resentment, understand that part, and then get on with my morning. And so I'm very, very grateful now. I am willing to do all 12 steps as needed. And that's like every second of the day, and let that all pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Nancy L. And Jackie H., you've got about 2 minutes. Please go ahead, Jackie H.
Thank you. Good morning, Jackie H., recovered in Colorado, and I will take just a couple of minutes here. The psychic change for me didn't happen overnight, but it is fourfold. It's physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional. And the person I was even yesterday, today I look totally different. I look at food different. I look at people different. I am no longer bound and determined when I wake up to run the show for everybody. And this program has offered me this. I was able, by going through the steps and doing them exactly how they were designed to do, I have this simple, simple plan for living. And I look different today. I look in the mirror and I see a different person. The psychic change that, you know, this personality that I have the personality has so many flaws. The essence of who I am, the essence, the child of God, does not have those flaws. It's the personality around it. And that's what is being undone for me as I do these steps and I live each day, live these steps, actually. Those personality things that get in the way of my being of service to my fellows, those are falling away. And the essence of me is shining through. And that is the God. That is the God essence that's shining through. Thank you, and I will pass.
Take a shower, then. You're nasty.
Thank you so much, Jackie H. And, well, that's all the time we have today for sharing. Thank you.
Bye, God.
Shut up, you all. We'll share for as long as we want, all right?
I'd like to thank Team Wednesday.
Go ahead, Ron. Go ahead.
All right, I'd like to share.
By Terry
my name Hayes, is
Ron. By Athena B. The read of our text with Cindy D., and Liz P. will take us out with page 164. And thank you all, and especially thank you, Melanie C., our newcomer greeter. Just reminding everybody, please stay on the line afterwards if you're new, after we read the Serenity Prayer, so that you can give us your name and be able to give you some sponsors. So now we will close with the reading of the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Liz T., could you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only through Keep You Until Then. Thank you, Liz.
Hi, good morning. Good morning. My name is Liz T., a recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.